Welcome to another episode of the Gonzo Chronicles. This is your host, Cyrus Alderwood. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Got a pretty interesting topic I want to talk about today. Let me ask you a question. Do you like game shows? If you're like me, you watch a lot of TV. I watched a lot of game shows in my day. Even growing up, I was a big fan of game shows. I even liked Alex Trebek on Classic Concentration before he even became the host of Jeopardy. So I've always watched Game Time or daytime game shows, before I, during the summer breaks and so forth. One of the most popular game shows ever, The Dating Game. So a lot of you have heard of that. But have you heard of The Dating Game Killer? Believe it or not, there was a guy who won on The Dating Game who was actually a serial killer. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and then I'm going to tell you exactly where you can go to find to listen to some great information and discussion about this. So let's kind of launch into the show, The Dating Game Killer.
And we'll get right underway. It's time to meet our first three eligible bachelors for game number one. And here they are. Good luck, gentlemen. Well, let's see. Bachelor number one is a successful photographer who got his start when his father found him in the dark room at the age of 13, fully developed. Between takes, he might find him skydiving or motorcycling. Please welcome Rodney Alcala. Rod, welcome. And it's time to meet our young lady for game number one, and here she is. Here is a young lady with a wealth of experience. She once earned a living massaging feet, but she quit when her boss suggested that she work her way up. Then she taught school in Phoenix, Arizona, and now she's here to educate our three bachelors in the art of amour. Welcome, if you will, sensational Cheryl Bradshaw. Hello, Cheryl. Don't sit down yet. Just a minute. Want to make sure everything is straight. You relax. You feel okay? All right. You know there are three bachelors over there. There'll be one, two, and three. Ask them anything you like to find out more about them, except their name, age, occupation, or income. Okay? And we're going to start by having them say hello to you and see how they sound. Number one, would you say hello to Cheryl, please?
We're going to have a great time together, Cheryl.
Okay. And here we go.
Bachelor number one.
Yes.
What's your best time?
The best time is at night. Nighttime.
Why do you say that?
Because that's the only time there is.
The only time? What's wrong with morning, afternoon?
Well, they're okay, but nighttime's when it really gets good. Then you're really ready.
I'm a drama teacher, and I'm going to audition each of you for my private class. Bachelor number one. You're a dirty old man. Take it.
Come on, over here.
Oh, honey, we ought to go out and boogie.
A bachelor number one, I am serving you for dinner.
Oh.
What are you called and what do you look like?
I'm called the banana, and I look really good.
Can you be a little more descriptive?
Peel me.
Later, bachelor one. Later.
Welcome back to The Dating Game, and Cheryl, we have reached the moment of truth, as we call it. You've heard from the bachelors, you got some great dramatic presentations, some good answers, but now I'm going to ask you a question. Will that date be bachelor number one, bachelor number two, or bachelor number three? Who gets the dates?
Well, I like bananas, so I'll take one.
Number one, bachelor number one, all right. Well, there they go. However, you did leave one remaining. This is your date, and I want to tell you something about him, Cheryl. He's a skydiver, so he's got a lot of nerve. He's into motorcycling. He's also a fine photographer. Say hello to Rodney Alcala. Rodney, come on, say hello. Good day.
Jackson, Rod, you did it with the one answer. Well, as far as I can see, Cheryl and Rodney, it looks like the two of you may be involved in some sort of racket. So we're going to have you take to the court. First, you'll receive tennis lessons from...
Yeah, let's go ahead and just turn that off right there. You got to find out that Rodney Alcala won the date. That was on that was in 1978 on the dating game. Rodney Alcala, up to that point, no one knew, was a serial killer. Now, fortunately for Ms. Bradshaw, I guess the next day, I guess after, you know, they met and talked, before they could actually go out on the date, she kind of got the creeps from Rodney Alcala, didn't like the vibe she was getting from him. A lot of the other people on the set felt the same way about the guy, so she declined the date. That probably saved her life right there from becoming his next victim and certainly another statistic. Rodney Alcala had a long, long history. How did he get on the dating game? Well, I assume at some point, as I was talking on a show last night with Elizabeth Cooper on Murders and Mysteries, that how did he get on, you know, did they not do background checks at the time? Because he was actually at that time on the FBI's most wanted list. Rodney Alcala, a serial killer, who's still alive today on death row at the age of 77, is an absolute psychopath who has been diagnosed with multiple emotional and mental disorders. He is a narcissistic personality, an incredibly dangerous man, and might be one of America's most prolific serial killers. Now, he's still alive today. He's not being extradited to Texas on other charges as time goes on and other DNA evidence is found that links other cold cases to him. Now he's suddenly sick and can't be transported. Okay. Not sure I necessarily buy that. Elizabeth didn't necessarily buy that on the show last night either. But let's go back and find out a little bit about Rodney Alcala, who, by the way, was a certified genius. He tested at some sort of crazy IQ level of like 150. I mean, just way up there, 150 to 170. It was off the charts, this guy's IQ. Now, he didn't come from a troubled background. I mean, his father left when they were young, but he didn't come from a home where he was abused. As a matter of fact, he went into the Army. He did go AWOL, and that was when he got his first diagnosis of mental disorder. But you know, he was popular, he played sports, he actually used photography as a way to get into people, to actually lure in victims, and that was a part of his MO through his entire time out, just being a predator, as I called him last night, a super predator. So let's go back in time a little bit and learn a little bit about this guy. And then after you listen to, you know, I'll kind of keep it a little bit brief here on this show because I didn't want to go over every detail that we talked about last night. I'm going to link the show from last night, the YouTube link, into this podcast. So if you're listening to it online on Podbean, you'll see the link there. If you're listening to it on your smartphone, you should be able to look down at the details of the program and find the YouTube link to click on it from there. It's about an hour-long interview, but God, was it really in-depth and interesting. It's one of the most interesting things I've researched. Rodney Alcala, American serial killer and rapist, who committed several murders that's been confirmed, but, like I said, suspected that he was guilty of many more, called the Dating Game Killer. That was his nickname after his capture because of his appearance on that show back in 1978. His first crime, actually, was 1968. He was caught by police raping an 8-year-old girl. The victim was Tally Shapiro. Now, little Tally Shapiro was raped and beaten with a steel bar by this animal. The only way her life was spared was because of calls that were made to LAPD about the suspicious man that they had seen with this young girl. So that resulted in the police having to break into his home and stopping him from killing Shapiro. However, he was able to escape, and he went on the run from the police and eventually fled to New York And after that, he was soon put on the FBI's most wanted list a year later. Now, his first victim, as far as murder, that we know of, was 23-year-old Cornelia Crilly. Her body was found in her New York apartment. Her naked body had been bound and strangled with a nylon stocking. Something was shoved in her mouth to keep her from screaming. Her breast had also been bitten and left a mark in it, which is another one of his trademarks, apparently. As time goes on, they've found others around the country that had something like that. Okay, so after the murder, Alcala moved to New Hampshire under the name John Berger, where he worked as a camp counselor until he was recognized by some of his campers due to his face actually being on the FBI's most wanted list. So that's what got him caught. Now, when I said he strangled this woman with nylon stockings, he was a sick, sick man. He would actually strangle to the point where you pass out. And then he would let you kind of revive. And then he would do it again and again in just a sick, sick way. Now, going back to that audio you heard from the classic, the show that he was on, now they had cut out, I played that from a YouTube video. They had cut out all the other contestants, obviously, just so you could hear him. But hearing him now, I mean, you can hear the audience laughing at him, things like that. But just hearing that now, you wonder how much of that growling and just arrogant confidence that he had around his victims. And watching that video now, I mean, there's nothing funny about it. It's repulsive, actually. 1972, he was convicted of rape. He was actually convicted on a charge of child molestation. This was Tally Shapiro. And that was the only conviction they had because the parents refused to let their daughter testify. I can understand that, but I don't understand the sentence he got. Because of the lesser conviction, he was paroled in 1974 after spending only 34 months in jail for raping and beating an 8-year-old that he was on his way to murdering. That's all he got. However, after his release, he was sent back to prison for a parole violation where he remained until 1977. Now, his parole violation was he sold marijuana to a minor. And it just struck me as it just angered me when I read this, that this psycho did just as much time for selling marijuana to a minor as to raping and beating an attempted murder of an 8-year-old girl. So that told me right there, it's like this, what is wrong with the justice system that something like that happens? Let's fast forward a little bit. 1977, this is still before his time on the dating game. Alcala's second victim that we know of was 23-year-old Ellen Hover. Now, she lived in New York also. She was originally reported missing. The only clue they found was on her calendar. She wrote down that she had she was going to go meet a guy named John Berger. Again, the name that he used when he went east. Her body was found a year later in 1978, buried in the ground outside of Westchester's Phelps Memorial Hospital. Now, again, the arrogance and, the narcissism, thinking you're not going to get caught, to go to a place that would be so public and bury a body. That still boggles my mind. You can't wrap your head around how sick and arrogant and narcissistic somebody is that does these things. However, let's fast forward again. Another victim, Jill Barcombe. And this was November 10th of 1977. This is the third known murder victim. Her body was discovered along a dirt pathway near Mulholland Drive in L.A. She was naked from the waist down, positioned with her knees in toward her chest. And there was also evidence of another sexual assault. She'd been beaten, strangled with a pair of blue slacks, and also she had 3 bite marks on her right breast. In December of 77... a lady by the name of Georgia Wixted. This was assumed his fourth victim. She was 27 years old. Her body was discovered on the floor nearby to the brass bed of her Malibu studio apartment. Her naked body was bruised and battered in such a way that it resembled torture more than a beating. To investigators, it was evident how she was beaten. The hammer was found next to her body. She had been sexually assaulted before being bludgeoned and strangled. Then he goes on to the dating game, where he wins. And, you know, all the contestants, again, they describe this guy as creepy. Despite the opinion by other contestants, though, he won the show. And they kept describing him as a successful photographer. Again, that was his MO. That was his, the way he worked his way into to getting victims. Fifth assumed victim is 32-year-old Charlotte Lamb. And she was found in 1978 on the laundry room, in the laundry room of a large apartment complex in El Segundo, California. Now, residents of the complex, they'd never seen her before, but her her body was found with her body laying face up. She was naked, her hands behind her back. She had been also sexually assaulted, strangled again, this time with a shoelace. And I'm only going to get to a couple of more victims here, and then I'll kind of refer you to the video. 21-year-old Jill Parenteau. She was found on June 4th, 1979. And this was, again, I guess, assumed his sixth victim. She was murdered after Alcala broke into her Burbank apartment. He beat her, strangled her to death, then posed her body inside of her bedroom, propping it up with pillows. And when it kind of is weird, because you think of all the way he stages all these bodies, it's almost like he's doing it to take pictures. Now, I'm going to get into photographs here in just a moment, because this is why it's important you go watch this video. In June 20th of 1979, his seventh, and I guess, well, assumed a seventh, one of the final, I guess, assumed the final known victim. And this was sad because I have a niece close to this age. Seventh and final victim was 12-year-old Robin Samso. She was murdered on June 20th of 1979. She had been abducted by Alcala as she rode her bicycle from her Huntington Beach neighborhood to ballet practice. Her body was found decomposing, dumped off the Santa Anita Canyon Road around 12 days later. Now, he used his photography. He approached this young girl and one of her friends and asked if he could take pictures. That he was a photographer, found them interesting. Well, the other little girl was kind of hesitant and didn't know about it. Then I guess one of the adults had saw a stranger talking and came down, and he was kind of sheepish, kind of kept his head turned, and then quickly kind of scampered away. They caught Rodney Alcala on June 24th, 1979. He was arrested for the murder of Robin Samso. He had been reported to the police after his parole officer noticed that a police sketch of the suspect looked similar to Alcala. He would later be convicted of the murder and then linked to the deaths of Barkham, Lamb, Wixted, and Parenteau due to DNA evidence. So, you know, if it wasn't for, and I hate to say this, but if it wasn't for this particular little girl and then him getting caught, we would still not know who murdered those other women. Because those that saw him, I guess, stalking this little girl, they gave the police sketch artist everything they needed. And that was kind of the end of him. Now, there were some issues with trials. And, you know, that I guess he got off a couple of times, but had to appeal. But anyway, this guy's a super predator. When they arrested him, they found him at his mother's. He was staying with his mother at the time. And he wasn't home, but I don't think he was home. But she knew where he was at. They arrested Alcala. But in search of the home, in his bedroom, they found a receipt for a storage building in a storage unit in Washington State. So the local police, they call up there, you know, to the police there in that town, and they go into the storage locker, and they're looking around for whatever evidence they can find. And wow, they found a treasure trove of something that absolutely shocked them. We know he had been from one side of the country to the other and back, but they did not know the amount of damage that this man had done or suspected of doing. They found close to 1,700 photographs that he had taken in that locker and in that storage unit. Some of them had faces in them. Some of them didn't. A lot of them were posed in sexual ways. It wasn't just women. There was actually young boys in some of these photographs, too. He had stalked these people and taken photographs. So at that point, the police were wondering, okay, how many people has this man stalked and how many has he killed? Now, this guy is a narcissist. Psychiatrists have said this. And because of his personality disorder, obviously he thinks he's smarter than the police and everyone else. He's never admitted to any of these murders. And he will probably take them to his grave or do a deathbed confession just to say, ha ha, I got you guys. He had over 1,700. Now, at that point, on this video that Elizabeth and I did last night on Murders and Mysteries, I was so glad she did this. She would take some of the photos, and they were kind of rotating on the screen with a number for the detective that still works the cold cases on this guy in Huntington, California, with a phone number you could call the detective if you recognize any of these people, or if you yourself were one of these people, and like, oh wow, I remember seeing that guy in some place. There are so many cold cases that are connected to this guy that nobody can prove just yet, that they really need as many witnesses as they can. Now, this is actually, this case has been discussed on Investigative Discovery, ID Discovery Channel, back in 2017 was the last one I saw. ABC, CBS, I mean, all these shows have covered this guy. But this psychopath has done so much damage that, you know, there was a case And according to the ID Discovery program that I watched, and you can find that on YouTube also, in Wyoming, there was a detective there that was working a cold case and managed to link it to Alcala. And then once he found other cases that were similar around the country, it was estimated that he might have had anywhere from upwards of 150 to 200 victims. And there are so many cold cases out there. That's why it's important to look at those photos. And if you know people that were, you know, in that era, that were, you know, very, you know, active or, you know, alive during that era, that, you know, that were teenagers or young, that might see a photo that they recognize that might actually help close some of these cold cases. There are so many families out there that never had closure from what this animal has probably done and still won't admit to. It's sickening. But if you're on YouTube, if you want to listen to this and go onto YouTube yourself and look for this, again, I'll have it linked. But if you go look for the Caffeinated Cooper Show or Elizabeth Cooper on YouTube, you'll find the program she just posted up last night after we were done, Murders and Mysteries. So definitely take a look and watch that video. I think this was probably one of these cases that, I don't know, just kind of hit you the wrong way, you know. You hate to see so many unanswered questions, because when you look at video footage and pictures of the families that suffered because of this guy, you wonder how many other broken families were out there because of this guy's just pure evil. So, Rodney Alcala, the dating game killer. Hopefully, since in the modern age we have so many game shows and I still watch them, hopefully I'm sure they're all doing background checks at this point. But it's amazing. The FBI actually estimates at any given point in America, there's anywhere between 12 and 20 serial killers just walking around amongst us. And that guy happened to be one of them. I guess he was kind of reminiscent of Ted Bundy a little bit, even though Bundy came along a little later, you know, kind of at the time a good-looking guy. Popular, you know, into various different things. So easy. I guess it just because of his narcissism, everything just sort of came easy to him to doing these things. which is just blows my mind. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. This will be a shorter episode of the Gonzo Chronicles. I'll be back again soon with another cool topic and another cool guest. Actually, we may have one of our previous guests back on. It's in a new project now, an independent film. And we're going to maybe talk some more horror films, some really cool stuff. If you know of any topics or any guests you think might be cool for the show, drop me an email. It's cyrus.alderwood@gmail.com. Or hop on Facebook. I'm on Twitter also. Actually, I set up a MeWe and a Gab account. Not that I have a lot of time for social media, but you know, hop on there and contact me and follow me anyway. Appreciate you guys following the show. Make sure you subscribe. We're on iTunes and Spotify. Make sure when you find the app and download the program on your phone, hit that subscribe button and share the program with a friend or two. Thanks again for following along, everybody, and I will see you on down the road.